Don't worry if every single thing that you post doesn't do that well. Just keep showing up and being consistent. I've watched so many amazing organizers and other home service-based businesses really take off just because they were consistent.
Welcome to Masters of Home Service, a podcast by Jobber. I'm Adam Sylvester. Today, we're talking about some simple ways for you to grow your social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all those good things. This is a podcast made by successful home service pros for home service pros, all to make your business more profitable and more efficient. Today's guest is Katrina Teeple. She is the owner and founder of Operation Organization. Katrina, why don't you tell our guests what you do exactly?
Hi. Well, we help people get organized. We declutter their lives. We come in and really we're looking to give our clients a transformative experience because it's not just about color coding and making everything pretty. It's about optimizing their home and their life.
Awesome. So you help your clients just get their home in order and organized. How'd you get into that?
Gosh, you know, I was acting 20 years ago in Los Angeles, and I needed a way to make extra money. And so I thought, you know, what could I do that brings me joy that I've been doing that I have a skill at? And so I had been organizing my friend's closets since I was in grade school. I was the gal that went over to my friend's houses and just was like, hey, let me organize and rearrange your room. So then when I got into my 20s, I've had my business for 20 years. I thought, you know, hey, I could make a go of it, of this. And so that's how I got into it. I did it kind of on the side while I was working another job as a personal assistant in Los Angeles, trying to make it in the acting world, but I needed some real income and I needed a flexible schedule. And so I got inspired and I just decided I'm going to do this. And I went and I got a business license and kind of the rest is history. Cool. If you want more details on how I got really into it, I can let you know. But yeah,
well, I think that's a story most of our listeners can relate to. A lot of people start off part-time as a side hustle. But here's the thing. You're not only an expert in home organization and running a business, you're also really into social media. You have a lot of information and insight into that. And so I'm curious for our listeners, like, just to get started here, have you used social media to get clients for your home organization business?
Oh, 100%. You know, I've been looking at the analytics behind it over the years and tracking that because we always ask our clients like how they found us. And we are getting the majority of our clients from Instagram. That's really where I put most of my energy into social media because, you know, I don't want to spread myself too thin. And I found Instagram is really a great platform for me. And so we are retaining clients from Instagram. We're getting new business every week from Instagram. And so it's worth my time, my energy to put work into it.
Wow. So are you getting only local clients from Instagram?
Oh, no.
Or also, okay, tell me more about that.
Yeah. So I think it's important, you know, in your business, you've got your local areas because we're home service based professionals. So I own my business in Los Angeles and Dallas, Texas. And so I started in LA 20 years ago. And then 7 years ago, I moved to Dallas, well, almost 7 years ago. And so I started a second branch of my business using the same operations that I did to set up in LA. And so in Dallas, I started a second branch with a second group of organizers. And now I'm running, you know, both cities. And so we do have our local organizing service, right, where we go into people's homes and businesses and help them get organized with our team. But then as I grew my social media presence, I really thought, well, how can I monetize other ways of doing business through social media? Because I have a lot of followers from all over, even different countries. There's people that follow me from Spain. There's people that follow me Sweden, Australia, you know, into Mexico, just all over. I noticed that they were wanting some of this organizing service as well, but I can't go to their house. So I started building courses in 2020, not a course, but more of a masterclass. And I started doing online masterclasses. I would, you know, sell those on Instagram in my stories, and they were really successful. And I, you know, did that. So I was able to monetize the people that didn't live in the two cities that we were servicing locally.
So obviously, you know, I can't cut grass for somebody who lives 500 miles away. So let's focus in on most of our listeners are like your organization business where it's like coming to clients' house and doing the work. How would you advise our listeners like generate followers and then convert those followers into paying customers all on Instagram. Like that's to me, I mean, I need free advice on this. So like teach me, how do you do this?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just want to go back and mention one thing about my online masterclasses that I was selling because, and I still do, I was able to sell things that are adjacent to my home service business within the same topic, but a little bit different. So I was doing digital decluttering. So I'd help people like get rid of email in their inbox and help them with their to-do list. So I'd do that. And or I'd even teach them like how to reorganize their pantry themselves, more DIY with my guidance. So that's what I was selling online. Okay, here's my main thing with social media and growing your business on social media. You have to be in it for the long game. And you don't want to be super salesy, but you don't want to be afraid to share yourself. And what I found that really, really works is I run my social media account myself. It's still manageable. I'm like at, I think like 62,000, you know, followers at this point. And it's so important for me to spend the time creating relationships in my DMs with my clients, people that are my followers and my current customers. And the way that I do this is I want them to be able to get to know me outside of just seeing me organize in videos and giving them tips. I want them to know that I have a life. I have two kids. I'm going to share, you know, about being a mother. I also have shared on there about how I struggle with anxiety. I bake bread. I have chickens. I have a backyard, you know, that I'm growing like a little garden in the city. So all these things are not necessarily about professional organizing, but they get to know me as a whole person so that they can start to trust, like me, and see something that resonates with my audience in me, right? Because when you can attach yourself to somebody, it makes you want to do business with them. Like if they can relate and go, oh, that's the gal for me. That's the team for me. That's the culture I want. And one of the things that sets me apart is I also am trying to be as eco-conscious as possible whenever possible with my clients. And that's something that people latch on to. But if I didn't share about that and I just wanted to be like rainbow and plastic, like I would lose some really good clients and followers because of that specificity within my business.
Okay, so I got a question for you, a follow-up. Are your accounts, would you tell people that their company should be what you try to get people to follow? Or it sounds like you're saying that people should follow you,
yeah,
Katrina.
I'm the brand, like my, it kind of starts with me and then it turns into my company, but I don't have two different Instagram. Well, I guess I do because I wanted to get the name just in case I wanted to do Katrina Teeple or something. But my Instagram account is Operation Organization. Like I am Operation Organization. I share both business and professional life on there. I really think that that has helped me stand apart from my competition. I'm not making it absolutely perfect on every single reel. You know, I'm not using filters. Of course I lighten my photos and stuff, but I mean, when I don't use filters, I don't use filters on my face. I show up with my wrinkles, you know, I show up just saying how old I am. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And I think there's that realness that really connects you to your followers. And I think the other thing too, is I am in my comments answering all my comments myself. And even if it's just like, hey, thanks for checking out my reel, or I think that is such a huge missed opportunity. I got to work. I don't have time to reply to every single person that made a little, you know, heart emoji or commented with hands up on my reel or my comment. I mean, or on my post. But for me, like just somebody taking the actual time to like your content and to comment on your content, you're owing them a response, a thank you, even if it is an emoji. And I think that I have an unpopular opinion in this case where people say like, oh, well, why do you have to just write back to a stupid emoji? Hey, look, they took a second to think about it and give me a like, to give me an emoji. Hey, maybe it wasn't the best, most engaging comment, but I'm going to start something. I'm going to start a conversation with that person. Another thing that I do is I will regularly go and look at who followed me And I'm not going and following everybody back. I don't want to do that. But what I do is I will write individual people back. And obviously, I can't do this with all new followers, but I will go into my follow section. I will connect with them and they'll just be like, hey, I just saw you followed me. Thanks so much for checking it out. I'm excited to have you on this journey with me. And it's amazing to see how many people will write me back. And then I'll look and see 2 years later, they'll become a client and I'll go into our DMs and see where the conversation started. And it started 2 years ago. And now they're a customer that referred me to somebody.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm thinking through this from a person's perspective who might have like 10 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
And their business has one and it's their mom. That was me for a long time. And so for someone who's starting at the beginning of the journey, who hasn't even taken a step yet, and the journey seems so long, and they feel like they have to post multiple times a day for years to generate the kind of following that might start bringing in revenue, what would you say to that person? First of all, Mike, I'm curious if that's the requirement or if there's like a lower level tier, if you will, of like engagement. What do you think about that? You've been doing this for a long time. What do you think about that?
I hear you. You know, I want to say that you don't have to overwhelm yourself with posting every single day, multiple times a day for reels. I think for a while that was a trend, and I'm talking about Instagram, for instance. For a while, you know, like all the big names out there were like, hey, post three times a day, do reels three times a day. It's about, you know, quantity over quality. And I really think it's much more about quality over quantity now. And it's also just about being consistent with the schedule that you can keep up with. So I will notice that my account will take off with more followers if I am consistently posting three reels a week that are as high quality as I can get it. However, that's not always sustainable for me throughout, you know, hiring processes. Sometimes I'll just be extra busy and stuff. And so I just try to be as consistent as possible. But if you are overwhelmed with starting a social media account and you just think, I can't keep up, post at least two reels or two really good posts per week so that people remember to count on you and your content. And don't try to just recreate somebody else's reel, you know, like really try to think about it in an individual, more organic and original way so that you can start to have better quality content out there. How can you be helping somebody? How can somebody get like a giggle and a tip out of your content? And, you know, also what comes to mind too is I just started a podcast this year called the Living Organized Podcast. And I'm thinking like, how am I going to get the traction? You know, I'm starting over from scratch. Like I'm used to on Instagram having a little bit bigger following and people like being engaged with me on there. Well, I'm building something new. How am I going to do this? So it's kind of answering your same question. I'm back in that headspace myself. And I'm like, what's sustainable for me right now? And what's sustainable for me is just rolling out episodes every other week instead of once a week, but I'm consistently doing that and it is starting to get traction. I think the other thing too, when you're trying to get traction on your Instagram or any other social media, is you gotta try to get in there with stories. I do post stories almost every single day, and then I will occasionally take a few days off because that actually boosts my stories when I get back on, and it also gives me a break too.
I think I heard something that I liked. Someone said to think of the most common Q&As you get, like most common questions you get about your business and your service. Come up with 52 of them and then create a reel or video or a post and release one each week to your followers. I thought that's something I'm working on now. I thought that was a really good way to like really get nitty gritty.
I think those lists and prompts and stuff are really good. I also think it's good to not have to be married to those. I think it's good to have that list. And then also don't shy away from your creative self. Like last night, I'll give you an example. I was up kind of late cleaning up my kitchen and I saw, you know, a sound that just inspired me. So it was 10 o'clock at night. The lighting wasn't amazing, but I pulled an extra light into my pantry and I kind of made this funny video. And I'm going to put it out there, you know, it could hit or it could drop, and I'm not sure, but I didn't want to take away my creative inspiration in that moment and just throw it out there, throw it in my drafts, and then see how I feel about it in the morning. So I think it's always good to be like creatively pushing yourself. And when you create something that you think is really amazing for yourself, I think others are going to resonate with it. So even if you're feeling a little timid and you still think it's good, go ahead and post it. There's going to be flops and there's going to be viral videos. And sometimes the things that I was going to leave on the cutting room floor or in my drafts, and I ended up just posting them because I just said, hey, screw it. Let's just try this. Even though I've been doing a series, for instance, like you were talking about, on, you know, answering questions, or, you know, a series on how to's, I'm still going to throw in those trial creative reels and see what sticks, because I've had, you know, viral videos get over 1 million views just because I decided to go for it.
Hey, Trina, let's take a quick minute and talk about Jobber. I know you and I both use Jobber for multiple businesses. You have 2 locations. I have 2 different companies. We both love Jobber. Tell me why you love Jobber so much.
Oh my gosh. I've been a customer of Jobber for 10 years, and you can tell I love it because if it didn't work for me, I wouldn't continue to use it year after year. It is the best way to organize workflow with your business in terms of invoicing and following up, and also scheduling. Scheduling my team in 2 different cities would be such a mess if it wasn't for the ease and flow of the Jobber scheduling calendar and the invoicing.
Yeah, I agree. Without Jobber, my business would be a wreck, be a total nightmare. It'd be a tangled mess.
I also love the app. It just gets better and better every single year. My team knows when they're dispatched on a job, and boom, they're there and they're on time, and we're closing out jobs afterwards and getting paid so much faster.
Bingo. Yeah, 10 years is a long time. If you want to give Jobber a try, new users can get an exclusive discount by going to jobber.com/podcastdeal. It's time for you to start using Jobber today. Let's talk about reels for a minute and get a little more specific. So what makes a reel do really well? We talked about this a little bit, but I want to get a little bit deeper. What makes a reel do well? And on the flip side, what should people stop doing? I know that like the dancing videos were cool for a little while, but like what should be some of the content be of these things?
Well, I think it's about cutting out the getting right to the point, not, hey, everybody, or, you know, there's so much talk. I think brevity is your friend with reels. You want to get somebody's attention immediately. So for instance, I just shot a reel yesterday and I said, hey, I'm going to, and I just cut that whole part out. And I just said, here's how to fold shorts. Like people just want to know, like get to it. We don't have the attention span anymore. People are just moving on. So you need to tell people exactly what you're going to do and then do it immediately. And I think also editing really tightly is the name of the game as well. You don't need all this buffer and you don't need to film the whole thing. The other thing that makes a good reel, if you're showing a how-to, is to speed it up a little bit on your editing. So you might want to, if I'm showing people, for instance, how to fold something, then I'm not going to have it in real time. I'm going to speed it up when I pull that video into reels into like x2, x3, even x4 speed. Because people are fast at learning things. You don't need to slow it down for people. And also, it makes people watch your reel multiple times over and over because they, oops, missed a little part of it. And so they're going to keep the reel playing in the background. And that's how you get more views as well. So, you know, don't slow it down so people get bored and don't watch the whole thing. And if you have it be fast, then people are more likely to continue to watch your reel. And be excited about it. You know, you want it to be like a upbeat, fun pace. There's going to be other times when you're talking about more serious stuff within your business. I'll give you another example. I just did a reel. It was all about how people have too much toys for their kids and it's polluting the earth. Well, that was done with kind of a somber song. And it was just a picture of, it was just a video of me lugging big trash bags of toys into my car to drive away in the rain and just saying like, your toys become the world's trash. And so that was somber, right? But that's a little bit of a different feel, but it was still really short. It was like 7 seconds, and that hit pretty well, you know, got about 20,000 views.
So in terms of Reels, one last thing about this, should our listeners, like, I'm not even sure if you can pay Instagram to boost your, like, can you do a boost like you can on Facebook, or is it all pure organic, right? Just all organic.
You can do boosts. I played around with that. And for me, the deal is like Instagram is not really giving you what your money is going to be paid into. I think when the boosting of Reels first, I mean, the boosting of posts first came out, you could pay like $5 to $25 and you would get a lot more traction on your posts. I stopped doing it because it just felt like a money trap. And also, I want to stay connected with my clientele, my following, on what's really resonating with them. And I feel like when you are paying for ads, then you are kind of not paying attention to what's hitting with your following. And I want to be relevant. I want to stay relevant with them. And if I am artificially paying to get likes and to get traction or paying for likes, I've never done that. I never, never will. I can't stand it. And so I want quality over quantity. And so I don't pay for stuff anymore because I just feel like I'm losing touch with my audience.
Have you ever had this question when someone says, but Katrina, if I teach people how to organize their home on Instagram, they won't need to hire me?
Oh yeah. No.
What do you say about that?
Oh yeah. You got to teach people all your how to's, give them all your tips, and don't worry about it. You can't live in fear. And listen, people just want to know if you're good at what your vocation is. Like, people need to know I'm good at organizing if they're going to hire me to organize. And if they are able to do a few things on their own, so be it. They're still going to hire me, you know? And also the other thing is you want to create fans out of your followers. And the best way to do that is to show them how to actually get some organizing tips from you, because not everybody lives in the city that you're servicing people in. And people can become your biggest supporters even if they don't live in your city. And that's what I want people to remember. Here's an example, right? I have people that I've never met before that have been following me for years, and they will just share all of my content with their following. And their following is maybe like only 1,000 people. Sometimes it's only 200 people. Sometimes it's 5,000. Sometimes it's 25,000. Sometimes I've had people, you know, connect with me on the internet because they loved my tip and they have over 1 million followers and they've shared my stuff. And that is boosting my business. That you never know who's going to follow me that lives in one of my two cities that we service in Los Angeles or Dallas that follows those accounts. So those people are rooting for you and you want to give them the tips and tricks so that they can be successful and go, Katrina knows what she's talking about. I tried her tips. I'm applying them in my house and I'm doing it myself.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think that people, like, instruction is free, but I think people pay for handholding. You can tell them all the free stuff all day long. They're like, you know, I just want you to do it for me. I just want you to come over next to me and just do it with me, you know?
And they got to get to know your personality. If you're going to let one of my team members in your house, you got to know that we know what we're doing. And the way that I can show you that is by showing you what I know. And the other thing too, I think that happens is business owners can get scared to share their information about running their business also. And this was something that I was kind of scared to do. You know, many years ago, I was like, I don't want to tell all the other organizers, like, all of the ways that I'm running
my
business.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, just ask me, I'm going to tell you, because I wished that I had somebody to ask at different points in my business. And I also just, I want to collaborate and hear what other people are doing too. And I want to be a free spirit in sharing information, because that also is going to make people resonate with you. Because I have two different types of followers. Well, more than that, but I think the two main types of followers are potential customers and kind of my fan people, and then also other professional organizers. And I have a big chunk, thousands and thousands of other professional organizers that are following me. And I want to connect with them because they can take a masterclass that I'm going to teach, you know, in the fall too. And we can connect and we can help each other in other cities as well. I've referred other organizers in other cities that I've made connections with on Instagram.
Okay, so I have a question about Instagram creating reels specifically. I know I've gone down this road where I don't even know how to create the darn thing. It's so complex. I feel like the platform of Instagram specifically changes some, like the editing. Do you use any outside apps or do you only edit and create all the Instagram? Okay.
I create and I edit all in Instagram. It has to be easy. It has to be just in the app for me. And I don't want to import and export and all that stuff. So occasionally, like, I'll just, you know, film myself in the photo app, you know, on my phone, but it's all the editing's done in Instagram. What I will do, okay, this is kind of my process. I'm gonna give it to you, the details.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right. So I get up most days before my kids and I will kind of move my body a little bit, and then I grab a cappuccino and I sit and I do scroll reels for a little bit, and I look for inspiration and I look for sounds that I like, and I save a lot of sounds. And so I'm not looking like the day of that I'm trying to make this reel. Normally I am on a regular basis just looking for inspiration, saving the sounds, saving the music, and then I'll go back to create things. And I also have a note in my phone where I'll write down some ideas. Kind of between saving sounds and writing down my ideas, I create a reel when I come back to it. And I look for little moments and breaks in my day where I need a creativity break. So if I've been doing a whole bunch of admin, I will literally make sure that I stop an hour before I need to pick up my kids so that I can just have some time to create some content. And I build that into my schedule twice a week so that I'm not feeling the pressure of needing to create something when I'm stressed out.
Katrina, this is great. I think we've got some really good takeaways here. I've got 10 takeaways. Usually we do 3, but this one was really juicy. So we're going to do 10 takeaways here that I think our listeners will really get a lot of juice out of. The first one is, remember that social media marketing is a long-term game. You have to play the long term. Number 2, don't be super salesy. Like, provide value. Don't make people feel like you're just constantly asking for the sale. And number 3, don't be afraid to show yourself. Be personable, show your personality, show some of your personal life and all that. Number 4, answer all your direct messages quickly. Maybe some emojis, and just be as engaged as you can. Number 5, thank people in a DM for following you. In the beginning, you might have plenty of time for that. Eventually, you'll might have to choose just a few people, like you said, but like, respond to people and thank them for following you. Number 6, if you're overwhelmed by posting daily, then in the beginning, just set a goal. You know, post 2 or 3 quality posts a week. You don't have to do like 3 reels a day anymore. Number 7, come up with some common questions that people have about your business or services, obviously, and like, make content for those and then release them on a somewhat regular cadence. Number 8, get to the point, get to the value, trim the fat, cut to the content right away. Number 9, people can become your biggest supporters even if they don't live in your service area. They might retweet you or repost you or reshare your and like your post. And number 10, keep a running document of all your social media content ideas because you don't want to forget stuff. What do you think about those, Katrina?
I love it. I'm learning listening back to this. It's a good reminder even for myself as well. Gosh, you know, I think the biggest thing I want to leave you with is that be yourself. And I know a lot of people say that, but just be yourself. You are the only one that you are. And don't leave all your content in your drafts. I want you to start posting stuff. Like, leave your ego aside. If you are consistently being yourself and putting out content that is good quality, even if you think you look not perfect in it, even if you think, you know, you could have done a better take, get it out there. Be realistic, be real. People don't want the most perfectly, you know, done content with the most perfect lighting. Just get into it, you know, and don't worry if every single thing that you post doesn't do that well. Just keep showing up and being consistent. I've watched so many amazing organizers and other home service-based businesses really take off just because they were consistent. You're not going to get a ton of likes to begin with. You're not going to get a ton of, you know, comments and all of that stuff. But if you keep on doing it, they will come, because people need to know that you're sticking with something. People need to know that you care enough about putting work into social media that they're going to look for you. So yeah. Those are my final thoughts. And also, you know, if you're looking at your own social media and you're just feeling like stumped, connect with another person and just say, hey, I love your social media. Like, just give me a couple tips. And if you do that with me, a lot of times I'll go look at your profile and I'll just send you a direct message that is an audio message. And I'll be like, hey, I've got a couple real ideas for you. Because a lot of times if you can ask somebody outside of your field, they can be a lot more objective for you and just kind of pull the curtain back from taking yourself so seriously and being so worried about vanity.
Katrina, that was great. Thank you so much for sharing all your insights. That was really helpful. How do our listeners find out more about you?
Well, you can find out more about me on, of course, my Instagram page. So head on over to Operation Organization. Say hi. Tell me that you found me through this podcast. I would love to connect with you. And thank you. So Operation Organization on Instagram, operationorganization.com on the web.
Great. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Make sure our listeners go and start following you. That's it for today. I'm Adam Sylvester. I'm your host. You can find me at adamsylvester.com. Remember, your team and your clients deserve your very best. So go give it to them. We'll see you next week.